Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
To escape from the challenges that we are facing. And yet, thanks to the Holy Spirit, helping me to identify the enemy, to identify his weapon of choice, I was able to take out my sword. I was able to take out my sword and start fighting back. And that's what I want to encourage us to do. As we feel despair, these negative emotions coming on, let's take out our sword. And the sword is the word of God. So I grabbed my Bible, grabbed my journal. I stepped outside on my patio and just spend some time with God. But I knew it was time to go to war because the battle was on. And thanks to the Holy Spirit, he was able to impress in me some scriptures that were going to help me to get through this time. And I want to share some of that with you today. The Spirit himself was able to give me the solution. And the solution was the word of God. And I wrote it down in my journal, and the scripture that came to mind was Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And so the solution was actually written right there on my coffee mug. If you saw my coffee mug, it said, be in the moment. It said, be in the moment. And that was a solution that I can't focus on tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough issues of in itself. I have to focus on today. I gotta hold on to hope for tomorrow because the best is yet to come. And I remembered reading a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, because I remember the word despair in the Bible. And so I looked it up on my Bible app, and there it was. I put in despair. The search came up, 2 Corinthians 4:8. I'm like, man, that's what it was. And I wrote that in my journal. And I want to read that with us right now. It says this. It says, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Now I looked up the word perplexed. Paul was saying, hey, we're struggling. They were going through intense persecution. They were going through their own challenges each and every day as they try to be disciples and share the gospel and live out God's plan for their lives. And Paul was saying, we feel hard pressed on every side, but listen, we're not crushed. It's tough, but it's not going to take us out. We're even perplexed, but we're not in despair. And I looked up what perplexed meant, and it's defined as filled with uncertainty. How fitting is that for our time right now that we are living in? Filled with uncertainty. And so Paul was real about the uncertainty that he faced, yet he did not lose hope. He did not give in to despair. I want to ask you right now as you're commenting in the comment section, what is it that you feel most uncertain about? Is it your health? Is it the economy? Is it the future? What is it that you're struggling with the most when it comes to uncertainty? What are you perplexed about? And at the same time, as we type up and share those comments, I'm sure that we can all relate to each other. At the same time, I want us to make a decision, and I want you to write down, but I will not despair. I'm perplexed about this, but I will not despair. You know, in many ways, it feels like whether or not we get infected with this virus, that's out of our control. And I've heard people say that over and over again, that we're really starting to see how much out of control we really are. And that's tough. That's hard for us. We love to feel in control. But the one thing we do have power over is whether or not our hearts get sick. So we may not be able to control. We can do the best we can, practicing social distancing, making sure we don't go out and aren't, you know, ignorant in those things when it comes to our physical health. But when it comes to our heart health, that's something that we do have power over. That is up to us, because we can choose to hope in the face of despair. And that's why I titled this message, The Cure for Despair. The Cure for Despair. And the cure is simply hope. Now is the time to hope in the face of uncertainty. We don't know anything. We don't know anything about what's going to happen in the future, what's going to happen tomorrow. We got to let tomorrow worry about itself, but we can still hope, because the reality is that true hope only exists in times of uncertainty. True hope only exists in times of uncertainty. This scripture in Romans 8:24 says it well. It says, "For in this hope we are saved, in this hope of Jesus saving us, in the hope of heaven. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." True hope only happens when we don't have it, when we don't see it, when we're having to wait for something patiently. I looked it up in the Greek, and the Greek actually reads, "If we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it." We wait expectantly for it. So hope is waiting patiently and confidently for what we expect to happen. In the definition of hope means that we're waiting. We're waiting for something to happen that has not yet happened. And the question for us is, how long will we hold out hope? As long as we're willing to wait for the things we hope for, that's how long we will hold out hope. Now, initial hope is easy, right? I mean, man, in the beginning, it was almost like we were like super optimistic and like, oh, this will pass and we'll get back in a couple weeks and whatever it may be. And then we hear, well, school's now shut down for the rest of the school year, physical in-person school. So parents, you're going to have to do that. Okay, well, now we have shelter in place here. And now we're seeing the numbers rise in deaths. And the president's telling us that the next couple of weeks are going to be the worst weeks. And what if it's not? What if it gets even worse? Right? And so some of us may have started off optimistic, but hope is so much more than optimism.
Yeah.
Hope is about making a decision that in the face of uncertainty, when Satan's trying to chip away at our hope, we're going to choose to not despair. We're going to choose to believe God.
Amen.
Initial hope is easy. Persevering in hope, now that is hard. Amen. That is hard. Paul gives us an example of someone who persevered in hope back in Romans chapter 4. Let's look at that scripture. This is one of my favorite scriptures. And this is why. Let's read it together in verse 18. "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead, because she was barren. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised." Even when there was no reason to hope, Abraham kept hoping. Abraham kept hoping. It says that he faced the facts with faith.
Yeah.
Listen, what we are doing as Christians is not blind faith. It's not blind faith. We're able to look at the facts. We're able to see the numbers rise. We're able to see how people are struggling. We're able to see how people are losing jobs. And yet we can still hope. And yet we can still have faith, because our faith is not based on situations.
Right.
It never has been, and it never should have been. And I think that's one of the things that God is exposing in our hearts is, where is our hope based in? Is it based in the things that we can see, which is no hope at all, the things we have, which is no hope at all? Or is it based in God? Mm-hmm. He faced the facts with faith. Amen. And it says that he didn't waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. What was the promise that God made him? The promise was that he would be the father of many nations. And yet, many, many years went by before he got to see that promise come true. Mm-hmm. His wife was barren. She couldn't have children. And so, do you know how long it took Abraham to receive his breakthrough? Mm-hmm. Do you know how long? Do you know how many years? 25 years, y'all. 25 years.
That's crazy.
God told Abraham when he was 75 years old to go to the land which I'm going to show you. He was 75. Mm-hmm. And he says, and I'm going to make you a father of many nations. And so Abraham's like, bet, mm-hmm. let's do this. I'm 75. I want a family. Let's go. You're going to make me a father of many nations, of your nation. Let's do this. Let's go. He set out immediately. Can you imagine, like, a year later, 2 years later, 5 years later? Isaac wasn't born till he was 100 years old. 100 years old. 25 years went by, and he had to, and it says that he continued to hope. And we know from Abraham's story, he had some tough times. Woo! He had some rough times, and he struggled, but he continued to have faith in God. And his hope really is what fueled his faith. Even when there was no reason to hope, Abraham kept hoping. Abraham kept hoping. And so I want to challenge us to do the same. I want to challenge us to do the same. This scripture teaches us that it was because he was fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. That's why he was able to hold on to hope. Because he was fully persuaded about God's promises. Here's what I want you to know. Hope is fueled by faith in the power of God to fulfill his promises. Hope is fueled by faith in the power of God to fulfill his promises. So I want to ask you this, and I want you to answer this in the comment section. What promises can we hold on to? What promises are you holding on to during this time? What promises of God are you clinging to make sure that you keep hope alive? For me, I immediately thought about Romans chapter 8 in verse 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. God is working all things out for our good. How many things? 25% of things?
Nah, bro. All things, bro.
How many things? Come on, church.
Everything. All things.
Every single thing. He is working it out for our good. For his people. For his disciples. Now, if you are not a Christian yet, I can't make you this promise. This is a promise from God for his people. For his family of believers. Why? Because it says that the ultimate good is that we become more like the only one who was good. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. If we can become like Christ, then things are working out for our good, because that's the most important thing for us Christians to achieve in this world. Mm-hmm. God is working out for our good.
Amen.
How are we doing hoping, keeping hope alive in this pandemic? What are you hoping for in this pandemic? What are you hoping for? Go ahead and write that down in the comment section. What are you hoping for? I want us to name our hopes, to pray about our hopes. You know, in my sermon that I did several weeks back, Breakthrough Peace, I encouraged all of us to identify our anxieties and give them to God. Today, I want to encourage us to identify our hopes and give them to God. Identify our hopes.
Amen.
What are we hoping for? I started my list this week as I studied this out. I want to share that with us. I am holding on to the hope of heaven, first and foremost. I'm holding on to the hope of heaven. I'm holding on to the hope that beyond this life, things will be better. They will be the best. It's going to be amazing. And so that helps me to make sure that I'm not putting all my stock in this life. Mm-hmm. If this is all we had, then we should be pitied more than all men, the Bible says. But we don't. We have something to look forward to. We should be investing in eternity. Mm-hmm. Because this time in this life is going to be over with. Even my daughter, last night as we were praying, she said, God, I'm just praying because it feels like you don't care about people during this time. Because you're not saving them from coronavirus. God, and she said, God, I just wanna say that to you, what's in my head. I just wanna be open. Because I know you do love us. And I know you do care about us. And I just took some time out last night just to be with her before she went to bed and ask her more about what she was feeling. Because even our children are trying to process this. And trying to process how God himself, what role does he play in all this? And as I listened to her, I just shared with her, like, listen, honey, we're all going to die one way or another. That is the reality of it, whether it's coronavirus or something else. And she mentioned other people that had died that we were close to. And I was like, yeah. And so our goal, we know we're going to pass away. Our goal is to make sure that we're set up for our eternal future. And so my hope is that I just make it to heaven. I'm holding on to the hope of heaven, that that's real, and I can hold on to that, and that can keep me going. But I'm also holding on to the hope that more people will choose heaven as a result of this crisis.
Amen.
You know, I have a hope to survive, to survive this time, right? Because as much as I do want to go to heaven, and I know that's going to be the best thing, I do also want to see my daughters become disciples, and I want to see them get married and have children and become who God has called them to be and go into the profession and understand their calling and have these incredible victories. And so I'm hoping I'd survive. I have a hope to survive, for my family to survive. I hope that that good will come from this, as Romans 8:28 says. I hope that good will come from this. I hope that I will become more like Jesus through this. My wife has been sharing this over and over again, how she doesn't want to be the same person after this pandemic. And wow, will we lose out on so much if we're just the same people after all this, right? And so I hope that I will become more like Jesus in this process. I hope for healing. I hope to God for healing. I'm holding out hope for healing. I hope for a cure. I hope for a vaccine. I hope it will stop spreading. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping. I'm holding on to hope. I was much more hopeful a couple of weeks ago and fired up. And today, as I went on my prayer walk, I just told God, I'm still hoping. I'm going to hold that hope because I know you're pleased by that.
Amen.
I hope to spend time with my extended family again, with my parents and my in-laws and my brothers and sisters-in-law, and hug my nieces and nephews. I hope to do that again. I hope to hug and kiss and cuddle with my loved ones again, and wrestle around with them again, and play golf with them again, and go to the beach with them again, and go on vacation again with them, with you. I know you're watching. I miss my family. I hope to worship with my spiritual family again. I hope to be able to fellowship again. I hope to be able to hug your necks again and give you our patented dap it up and give you the around the back, and you know, and just, man, I hope to sing with you again together. I hope to be with you in one place again together, my Path family, my church family, my brothers and sisters, whom I miss as well. So those are my hopes. I want to encourage you to make your list of hopes. Make your list of hopes this week and share it. This week in our virtual group discussions, our small group discussions, we're going to share our hopes. We're going to share our dreams this week. And what I want you to do is, if you haven't done so already, I want you to connect on our website, thepath.church, thepath.church. And I want you to go ahead and log on to there. And we have all the information for our small groups. And we'll connect you with a discussion that you can be a part of, because those have been so beneficial for us. Yeah. If you just go under the new here page on our website, you'll be able to see the information there. As we wrap up, I just want to share with you that next Sunday is Easter. We talked about that earlier. And we're going to celebrate the resurrection of Christ, which in itself is a story of breakthrough hope. And so that'll be the message for tomorrow, breakthrough hope. We'll dive deeper into this concept of hope. We'll see how the disciples learned to hope in the midst of suffering and the breakthrough that came as a result.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.